Let us turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. This message I shared a couple of weeks ago in the church in Norway, but we haven't shared it here on this platform. We need to have it recorded, and hopefully that it will be a blessing for all who go to our website and access these podcasts. Hebrews 10 verses 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider one another," praise God, "to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching." Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us look at the verse once again. You know, when we read the Bible, the words of the Holy Scriptures, it really blesses us. It edifies us. It challenges us. It washes us. So it says, "Let us consider one another." Amen. "To provoke unto love and to good works," praise God, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Amen. The title of this message is "Connected in Christ, the Power of Christian Community." I want you to know that we are all connected in Jesus Christ. Somebody say with me, connected. We are connected. You remember some years ago, there was a company called Nokia Mobile Phones, and their slogan was "Connecting People." Amen. Some of us are old enough to remember connecting people. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ connects people. Amen. No one can connect us like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the ultimate connector. He connects us together, and he connects us to the church in heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus connects us. Amen. Yes. Someone greater than Nokia is here, Brother Kalle, pray. So Jesus Christ connects heaven and earth together. Wow. No one, you know, I haven't come. Has there been anyone on this earth who has been able to unite humanity? Can you give me one name? There's no one. No one has been able to unite the whole world. Even if a great ruler, a conqueror, managed to unite some people, mostly it was through fear. You know, Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, all of these people were using fear, violence. But I'm here to tell you, through the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ has connected millions of people together. And in the new earth and the new heaven, everyone will be in unity through Jesus Christ, the great connector. Let us call Jesus the great connector. The great connector. Hallelujah. So we are going to talk about Jesus, the great connector. Hallelujah. In our journey of faith, one of the most vital components that sustain and nurture us is community. Amen. The fellowship of believers. Hallelujah. Can we take a moment to appreciate how much the church has meant to us? The fellowship of believers has meant to us. We cannot imagine how our Christian walk would have been if we were walking alone. Amen. Praise God. You know, the football club Liverpool has the slogan, "You will not walk alone." Amen. Well, Liverpool did not pop up that many years ago, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And indeed, in Jesus, we will never walk alone. Say, I will never walk alone. Jesus always has a community of believers for us. Say with me, there is always a brother for me. There is always a sister for me. Amen. The Lord will not leave you as an orphan. He will put us always in the family of God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me tell you, we owe the church a lot. Amen. If we cannot acknowledge that, we are blind. But I thank God for the church. I thank God for the fellowship of the saints. Turn with me for a moment, if you will, to the book of Psalms, chapter 68 and verse 6. Book of Psalms, chapter 68 and verse 6. The Bible says, God setteth the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. God setteth the solitary in families. Amen. Who put us in the family of God? Say with me, God. Who put us in the church? Say God. Hallelujah. Please do not think it's an accident that you are with the church, brothers and sisters. It was God who put you together with them. Because the same God who said it's not good for man to be alone, he's saying it's not good for my child, born again of my blood, of my water, of my spirit, to be alone. Amen. He put us in the church. You did not find your brothers and sisters by accident. It is Jesus who brought us together. Jesus introduced me to you. Amen. Jesus introduced you to me. Praise God. Let's say the church is the work of Jesus. The church is the community of Jesus. And Jesus is the great connector of the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, thank God for the church. The Christian life was never meant to be a solitary walk, but the Christian life was meant to be a shared experience, rooted in love, accountability, encouragement, and mutual edification. And we need to look at each of these words. This is a mandate of the church. A shared experience rooted in love. Love first, your brother and sister. After the greatest of all commands, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jesus said, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Do you truly love your brother, your sister, as you love yourself? Amen. This is why we always have to work upon our relationship with our brothers and sisters. Because I assure you, it is not always easy to love others as you love yourself. Do you agree with me? Say amen if you agree with me. Have you noticed one thing? We never hate ourselves. We never become enemies with ourselves. We try to justify ourselves. We try to excuse ourselves. Because we love. I love me. I love me. I forgive me. I know me. I know me is a good person. So we tolerate all kinds of nonsense from me, myself, and I. Jesus is saying, can you extend that to your brother? Can you extend that to your sister? Hallelujah. If you truly love yourself, you will do the same with others for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You know, you cannot leave yourself. You cannot abandon yourself. You cannot say, I'm not talking to myself anymore. I don't like myself. Praise God. You are stuck with yourself. And this is what Jesus is basically saying. You are stuck with your brother and sister. Because we're all in one body of Christ. How can you abandon yourself? That's why Paul said, if a man will hate his wife, he hates himself. Because the two are one flesh. This is a mystery of the marriage of Christ, he said, of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We have no choice. To hate your brother or sister is to hate yourself. To not love your brother or sister is to not love yourself. And that is really self-hate, self-loathing. Be nice to yourself. Love your brother, love your sister. Amen. Then accountability. Somebody say accountability. I am thankful that I have brothers and sisters that I am accountable to. And I'm accountable for. God asked Cain, where is your brother? Amen. And he will ask us the same question. Where is your brother? Where is your sister? Where? You cannot say, I don't know, Lord. They don't call me. Why don't you call them? So, you know, today we have brothers and sisters who don't speak to each other. What do you think Jesus will ask you? We say, where is your brother? Hallelujah. You can't escape the Bible. We have to repent and do what God tells us to do. So, where is your brother? Find out where is your brother. You are accountable for others in the church. And you are accountable to them in the sense that if I do not serve Jesus, I should expect my brothers and sisters to ask me, brother, what's wrong? Where are you? We expect something from you. You said that you're a Christian, that you believe Jesus is the one true God. You are baptized in Jesus' name. You receive the Holy Ghost and you believe in the Bible. And the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Brother, we must hold you accountable for what you confessed to, what testimony you gave. We're not holding you to something you did not yourself declare. So, my brothers and sisters, to be in the church is to accept that I am accountable to others and others are accountable to me. Praise God. So that if I start living in sin, I should expect that my brothers and sisters are going to ask me, what is this? No. We are accountable to each other. Praise God. So that's why we cannot leave church. These are some of the reasons. Accept accountability. It will save you. The person who leaves the church is the person who says, I don't want accountability. I will create my own set of rules. I will interpret the Bible the way I want. I don't want to hear your interpretation of the Bible. And you know, before long, such people, because they live by themselves, they don't want anybody to tell them what the Word of God says. They know it all. And then before long, they come to rest in the congregation of the dead. May the Lord help us. I want you to understand, to be in the church will save you from hell. It will save you from eternal separation from God. So when I call you brother, sister, when I come to church, I am saving myself from eternal separation from Jesus. God does not need anyone. And yet when he was manifested in the flesh, he lived with us. He surrounded himself with 12 apostles. He made himself accountable to them. How do I know that? He said, which of you convinces me of sin? Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, if our God, who does not need any judge over him, if he allowed us to judge him, if he allowed us to accuse him, how much more we who are sinful need each other, need accountability. Praise God. Amen. God was manifested in the flesh. He walked on this earth and he invited us to observe him, to evaluate him, to critique him. Praise God. And they could find no sin in him. The apostles gave their lives for the life of Jesus. Amen. Jesus gave his life for our sins. The apostles gave their lives to testify, to say, indeed, he was without sin. Indeed, he is God. Indeed, he is holy. Praise God. They sealed the testimony of Jesus with their blood. Amen. If God forbid, if tomorrow somebody comes to me and says, we're going to kill you because you're a Christian. You converted from Islam to Christianity. 2 or 3 days ago, my life in Norway, 35 years, has been put in the largest news national broadcaster, the BBC of Norway, put all pictures from my life, everything I've done. And 2 or 3 times they wrote, he left Islam and became a Christian. Let me tell you, somebody may decide it's time to kill this guy. You know what I pray to the Lord? Give me grace that I can also shed my blood for you to confirm that for 40 years, I confess, I confirm, Jesus is God. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus rose up the third day. Jesus gave me peace and joy and hope. Allow me, if it is your will, if you call me for that, to also pour my blood out with the apostles in Jesus, if it is his will. Amen. So, accountability. There was a song they sang, what they used to call the Negro spirituals. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, no, no. There's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for you and me. And I'm telling you, it was not only Jesus who shed his blood. He shed his blood. He's the only one who shed his blood for our sins. Nobody else can do it. But millions also allowed their blood to be shed. Why? Because we are witnesses. Say witnesses. We are witnesses. Praise God. We are witnesses, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. If I can witness with my blood, why not? I want to do something great for Jesus. Amen. Don't go looking for death. But I'm saying we are accountable. We also have something to do for Jesus. Because Jesus is so great, so great. Such a great God, such a great salvation, brothers and sisters. Sometimes when I want to glorify Jesus, I just cry bitterly. Why? Because he's so great. I don't have words. He's so mighty, so wonderful. I just cry. That is all. I can't do anything more. What a great God I serve. Hallelujah. What a great Jesus. Amen. What a great God. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Jesus is not ashamed to tell us again and again, I love you. We should not be ashamed to tell the world, I love Jesus also. I love Jesus. Amen. I may not know much, but I know I love Jesus. No one like Jesus. Nothing like Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. So, accountability, encouragement. Do you know just to see you in the church will make somebody encouraged? Praise God. Just to see you, it gives strength. Praise God. We need each other. Hallelujah. We need each other. Do you know even the great Apostle Paul? At one time, when he was in Athens and he saw all these idols and all the nonsense, he actually became a bit discouraged. But after some time, he saw the brothers came. And when he saw them, he was encouraged, praise God, the Bible says. He was lifted up just to see them. Praise God. You know, just to see our brothers and sisters can encourage us. Praise God. We don't have to do much. Just be there. Just show yourself. Say, show yourself. Amen. Go to church. Be with the people of God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is your ministry. Praise God. Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 16. The Bible says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. So then he went into the synagogues. He debated with them. He struggled with them. But look at verse 15. They that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him, with all speed they departed. See? So he was aware they are coming. Hallelujah. And just the knowledge of them coming, praise God, gave him strength. Because they came, they were with him. That's why Jesus said, go two by two. Somebody say, go two by two. Hallelujah. Two by two. Hallelujah. When I see my brother or sister, something says, keep preaching, keep witnessing. Amen. Keep saying what you are saying. Praise God. The scripture provides us a clear and powerful picture. of why community matters. The church mirrors the nature of God. Amen. Do you know God's nature is fellowship? God made angels, seraphim. God loves company. Somebody said God is social. It's a nice way to put it. Say God is social. God loves company. Oh, hallelujah. Just look at him. Look at Jesus. Jesus had to fight to find time alone to pray. But then when he finishes praying, he's with the people again. Hallelujah. Have you ever read in heaven that God is alone? He seems to be surrounded by seraphim, cherubim, all sorts of angels. You know, and I read the book of Revelation. Don't misunderstand me, but it seems like it's very crowded around God. It's very crowded. A lot of noise there. If somebody says, I don't like noise. You know, some people come to Pentecostal churches. You people are very noisy. I've seen guests who've come to Pentecostal churches, and they were holding their ears, closing their ears. And I said, what would these people do in heaven? Seraphim, cherubim, millions of people shouting, you are holy, you are wonderful, hallelujah, amen. I'm telling you, heaven is a very noisy place. It's crowded. Somebody says, no, I like to separate myself. Ah, hallelujah. May the Lord deliver you from the desire to be away from the people of God. If you find somebody who doesn't like the people of God, doesn't like to be in the company, you wonder. In Jesus' name, deliver them, Jesus. God, we are made in the image of God. And the image of God is not really loneliness. How do we know? God said it's not good for man to be alone. Praise God. So may God give you a desire to be with the people of God, to understand the blessing of fellowship. Hallelujah. We are speaking about the community of the church. What is church? Why is it important? I'm telling you, church is the most important organization in the world. It's the most important gathering together. It is indispensable. You cannot live without it. It is essential for your growth. Hallelujah. We'll talk about this. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It says, let us consider one another. Saints of God, consider. Somebody say, consider. Consider. Consider means think about. Somebody say, think about. When is the last time you thought about your brother or your sister? When is the last time? The Apostle Paul is saying, consider one another. Please, you will be doing the will of Jesus when you think about your brother or your sister. Think about them. How are they doing? Concern yourself with them. Because this is the will of the Father. This is the will of our Lord Jesus, who is the everlasting Father. Praise God. Let us consider one another. Praise God. We are intertwined with our brothers and sisters. You know, the word in Greek for consider implies careful attention. Pay careful attention to your brothers and sisters. It carries the thought of deliberate thought and reflection on how we can influence one another positively. Praise God. Somebody say, I need to think about how I can influence my brother or sister positively. Amen. Positively. Anything good I can do for my brother or sister so that they can be better Christians, you are fulfilling Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Consider one another, the Bible is saying. I should think about Brother Simon. Brother Simon is in London. in the UK, I'm in Norway, but I can think about him. I can pray for him. I can feel a burden for him. I can talk to Jesus for him. I can tell Jesus, please bless my brother. I want him to be strong, Jesus. I want him to be blessed, Jesus. I love my brother. I bless his family, his wife, his children. My God, I am thinking of my brother. I'm considering my brother. Praise God. That goes for everyone here. So when you do this, you are spending time, emotional energy about someone for whom Jesus died and rose. Jesus' most precious possession on this earth is not land, it is not water, it is not the animals, it is nothing of that sort. It is those who are born again of his flesh, of his spirit. Hallelujah. So in thinking about my brother or sister, I am troubling myself about Jesus' most prized possession on this earth. Jesus is looking at you and saying, you could have prayed for something else. I'm amazed that you're concerned with what I am concerned with. My church, my people, praise God. If you think about the people of God, trust me, you will always be blessed. Jesus will always remember you. Hallelujah. Look at who the greatest people in the Bible are. It's the people who thought about the people of God. Think about the Apostle Paul we talked about. The man who said, to the Jew, I became a Jew. To the Greek, I became a Greek. I became all things for all men that I might save some. Oh, hallelujah. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And today his name is one of the most famous in the world. I'm carrying his name in honor of him. God allowed him to write most of the New Testament. He became the world's most famous missionary. Do you know that the writings of Paul, one person once said, in the writings of the world, if you take all the books in the world and you check whose writings are reflected the most, it's the Apostle Paul. Think about it. To such a degree, God blessed him. Why? Because the man lived for the church. To the Corinthians, to the Romans, to the Galatians, to the Thessalonians, who thought about the church more than this man because of the grace that Jesus gave him, the mercy that Jesus gave him. Jesus had to save this man. Why? Because Jesus knew he will love the church more than most people. Hallelujah. I'm challenging somebody today. Please don't live only for yourself. You need to stop sometimes and ask, what did I do for the church of Jesus? What? And I'm telling you, the more you do for the church, the more your own life will be blessed. Praise God. The more you will be honored by Jesus in heaven. You remember Daniel, the prophet? He could not do anything for his people. But he fasted and he prayed for 3 weeks for Israel, for the people of God, for the promises of Abraham. And God loved Daniel. He said, oh man, Daniel, beloved of God. Why? Because he loves the church. There was another man called Nehemiah. He sacrificed his job, his life, everything for the church, for Israel. God loves such people. God loves such people. May you be somebody who loves the church, who does great things for the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. My daughter came with her husband to eat with us, and it was a long drive. I don't mind telling you, but it's not good to say it, but I drove over the speed limit, rushing here. It's quite far. It's 1.5 hours going back, but I said, I must be there for the Bible study. This is my love offering for Jesus. I should not come late. So help me, God. I was telling myself, relax, relax. But then I'm saying, why are you doing this? Because I love the church. The minimum I can do for the church is to speak for Jesus, is to edify my brothers and sisters, is to tell them, your God reigns in Zion. Jesus is on the throne. Be strong. Love him. Praise God. Hold on to Jesus until Jesus takes me away. May I be a blessing to the church. May you be a blessing to the church. Whatever Jesus gave you to do for the church, please do it. It is better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, David said. Better to be a doorkeeper than to dwell in the tents of wickedness in Jesus. Whatever little Jesus gave you. Brother Simon is like a doorkeeper here for this church. Sister Hymenot is another doorkeeper. Whatever little you do, not despise the day of small things. Hallelujah. When I was new in the church, I used to sit at the back. I was a young man, 18 years old. I would come from very far. And I told the pastor one day, please, give me a little job in the church. He said, what would you like to do? I said, I will clean the toilets. He was surprised. He gave me the job. That was my first proper job in the church. And I was so thankful to the Lord. And I will do the best I can for the toilets in the church to be clean for everyone. So it's not by accident the Lord allowed me to write books for the church, to travel and preach in conferences, to be here preaching to you, because I was willing to do anything for the church. Even if I can keep the toilets clean, please, Jesus, give me this job for your name. Praise God. So this is what Jesus wants, amen. He's so good. He's so great. He's so wonderful. We cannot be passive. When you love the church because of Jesus, it will activate you. You will suddenly find yourself traveling in countries you never imagined you would go. You will be talking to people you never imagined. What am I doing in this house? Talking to this person. All because of the love of Christ, the church. So Paul, the Apostle Paul tells us, we should provoke, somebody say provoke. Provoke means to stir up love and good works in one another. When I speak to you, you should want to do something for Jesus. This is what the job of the Christian is. Amen. Anybody can criticize, anybody can condemn, anybody can, but not everyone can provoke to good works. Hallelujah. If tomorrow I find somebody going around witnessing, giving tracts, and say, oh, wow, wonderful, and say, yeah, but you are the one who inspired me yesterday. Oh, hallelujah. Thank Jesus. So think about this, brother, sister. How have you provoked someone to do more for Jesus? How? In what way? I'm asking you the questions we should be asking ourselves, because the world will not allow you to ask these questions. But this is the way to measure your life. This is the way to measure your life. Ask the right questions. The right question is, how did I edify the church? How did I provoke my brother or sister to live more for Jesus, to bring more souls to Christ, to love more in Jesus' name. This is the best job you can do in the church. And then the apostle says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And he said, as is the manner of some. That means not all of them were doing it. Even at that time, some people are not going to church. But he said, all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Is the day of the Lord not approaching? Do you not see people buying and selling? Huh? Do you not see? Just turn on your news. You will see them. They're talking about the stock exchange, the Dow Jones. I don't know what the Dow Jones is. Probably the American currency stock market. The DAX is up. The Frankfurt DAX is up. One day it's up. The next day it's down. The Dow Jones is up. The Dow Jones. You know, one day I stopped drinking my coffee. And I said, what is this? I'm not a business into business. But I said, this is buying and selling. Jesus warned us about these people, this stock exchange. He said, in the last days, they will be buying and selling. They will be buying houses and selling houses, buying stocks and selling stocks. Is this not around us today? People will run to and fro, Daniel 12, verse 4. Knowledge will increase. Do you not see the day approaching, brother, sister? Are we blind? Eating and drinking. Just go downtown to your center. See the choices of supermarket products. See the choice of restaurants around you. Look at these companies. What do they call them? These people who drive home food to your door. You know, you can just order now. Anything. It comes to you at your door. Eating and drinking. Who would imagine in the last days you push some buttons on your mobile phone and food will come to your house? Ah, if you told this to people 200 years ago, they'd laugh at us. We have taken eating and drinking to a new level. You know what some of the most difficult question we have today is? What shall I eat today? I'm so tired of all that I've been eating. Let's try something new. I will order sushi. And you may laugh and smile, but let me tell you. I'm in Norway and I'm eating the food that was only common to Japan. I'm telling you, we're in the last days. Then I get tired of it. No, I'm going to try something. Let's try something Italian. Let's try something French. Let's try something Indian. I'm telling you, we're in the last days. We think it's normal. But tell this to people who lived 200, 300, 400 years ago. That soon, just push some buttons, an app on your mobile phone, and you can choose Indian food, Chinese food, sushi, whatever you want. Really? Is it going to come from Japan? No, no, no. Japan is going to be just around the corner from your house. Jesus said there will be eating and drinking. People will be buying and selling. What shall I sell today on eBay? You remember, I've been teaching all a lot about this, and I keep getting shocked more and more. And I'm telling you, before Jesus comes, this will be a phenomenon in the whole world. Buying and selling, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And they knew not until, praise God, the judgment hit. So, brothers and sisters, I'm saying this, it should be enough to want to rush to assemble ourselves together, to be with the church of God, to be with the people of God, because those are the only people who are awake, the only people who are vigilant and sober and will remind each other, yes, we see the signs. They're all over the place. People will be lovers of themselves. I mean, come on. Do you not see? Everybody is basically focused on themselves nowadays. Everyone has a website. everyone is a celebrity. Unthankful, unholy. They don't respect their father and mother anymore. You know, I'm amazed at the generation here in Europe now. I'm telling you straight. I tell some young people straight, God is going to judge you if you do not respect your mother and your father. You will not live long. The only one of the Ten Commandments which comes with a promise immediately on this earth is honor your father and mother that you may live long on this earth. Do you want to live long? Honor your father and mother, or you will die young. Listen, young person in Jesus, if there's a young person listening. I speak in Jesus' name. There's the word of God, says it. People no longer respect father and mother. They treat them like dirt. They treat them like servants, like a mobile bank. And when they get tired, they cut them off. God will judge. Please respect your mother and father in Jesus' name. We need to teach all these things. When we come together in the church, we remind each other, thus saith the Lord, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word, the Holy Bible, this book that I'm showing you will never pass away. Never pass away. Everything, nations come and go. People come and go. Kings come and go. Blasphemers come and go. But this book is still here in Jesus' name. Praise God. This is why we are in the church. This is the business of the church. Praise God. To lift up this book, to remind each other about what is in this book, to speak about this book. Hallelujah. I don't mind sharing with you, as I shared in Holland. When I went to Netherlands, Brother Lars took me to show me the house that he bought. He wanted me to pray. So the moment I came straight from the airport and I saw this house, three floors, I was so touched. I looked at Brother Lars. I don't know if he's here, but I told him, Brother Lars, I remember the time you were so poor. You didn't have anything. I mean, he had a house, but his business was collapsing. He was in trouble. But he was always taking care of the church. He was always, hallelujah, sacrificing from his own money to bless people, including myself. He was taking strangers into his house. I did not see many people like this, like him and Sister Comfort, who sacrifice, who bless. People who are not thankful. I told him, I'm not surprised. I used to pray at that time for him and say, Lord, if you do not bless him, people will be discouraged, because then they're going to say, look, even the people who serve you with such sacrifice, you don't bless. Bless him. So I was overcome with emotion. And I thanked my God because he showed his faithfulness. If you serve Jesus, he will bless you really 100-fold. I'm telling you. But our heart is not in these things. But God is faithful. He makes a difference between those who come together and talk about him and those who don't. Did he not say it? He said it. I make a difference. You will see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said it. Those who feared the Lord. Amen. Who fears the Lord here? We fear the Lord. That's why we came together. Is it not right? Amen. Why are we here? Why are we talking together? We fear him. We love him. Fear means we love him. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Please, somebody note this, because in 15 more years, 20 years, you will see this will come through. All of you who come, who love God, who go to church, this will happen in your life. I'm telling you in Jesus' name. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. This is what we're doing. The Lord hearkened, the Lord heard. He heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. For them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Are you in this book? And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serves him. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he said, they shall be mine, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. He will spare us. You know, some of us should have been dead, but Jesus spared us because we thought about him. We come together in his name, like we are doing right now. Then shall you return. I'm telling you, in the Netherlands, I returned to Jesus. In the hotel room, I went on the floor. I said, I'm here returning to thank you for answering those prayers. And discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not, in Jesus. Do you love life? Do you want to be blessed? Say amen. Who doesn't love life? We're not crazy. We love life. Serve Jesus. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. If you find Jesus, you will find life. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, he will bless you if you love the church. Amen. He will hear you when you call upon his name. Amen. Let me read for you Psalm 91, verse 14. Psalm 91, 14 says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. I will set him on high because he has known my name. I want to tell you, I don't have any other way to explain it, what is happening in my life, but these scriptures are coming through even in my life. I want to share with you, I told you this is the equivalent of Norway's BBC. 2 days ago, they ran a portrait of me. I'm not saying this to boast, please forgive me. This is not my intention. I do not understand this thing about being celebrity, neither have I any interest. I'm happy to be totally anonymous. But the whole of Norway was reading this story. And when you look at it, all the pictures outside my university, my office, they're talking, they put my PhD graduation. My goal was only to put it up in my house, and now Jesus has shared it with the whole of Norway with the certificate. When I was 19 years old. I mean, this is being shared with the whole of this country. When I drove a taxi, as a young man with the, you know, this they call this smoking and shule. When you look at it, the masters, the point of all of this was they're trying to make a portrait because they're saying, this is an incredible life. A guy who came as a refugee, everything is working against him. And this is a very unlikely story of resilience, of never giving up and rising to the top. And guess what? Two times they mentioned he's a convert from Islam to Christianity. Let me tell you, I can't reply to all the emails that I've received. It seemed like the half of Norway is trying to contact me. Many companies have called me to ask me to come and to speak to their employees. One of the biggest publishing companies in Norway has a meeting with me soon. They want to offer me a book contract. Think about it. One of the biggest companies, Finn.no, where they sell everything, has asked me to come to speak to the employees. The national broadcaster, I have an appointment to go and speak to the employees. So everybody, teachers, different people are contacting me, all are basically blessing me. Even one school teacher sent me an email quoting 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. She said, I'm you know, it's very happy for you, although I'm provoked with all the challenges. You see, when you look at all of this, I'm not fooled. I know why it's happening. Because I have lived for Jesus. I have lived for the church. I really don't know anything else outside of it. I don't socialize outside the church. I have a job, yeah, but that's not my life. My life is Jesus. My life has been spent in the church. So what did the Lord say? Because he has known my name, I will set him on high. Hallelujah. Praise God. And those who feared the Lord, thought about him, the Bible says you will see that he will make a difference. Amen. People always tell me, you're so lucky. You know, always nice things happen. In the end, you win. It's not me. It has nothing to do with me. I only came as a refugee. I had nothing except my clothes. And I had a difficult life. But I know only one thing. I love Jesus. I try to serve Jesus. And Jesus blessed. Praise God. And I want the same for you. I want the same for everyone who loves Jesus. Why? Because when Jesus will bless you, give him a chance to bless you. Go to church, serve him. Why? Because when he blesses you, we will all look at you and say, see, look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. So Jesus is glorified more when he blesses everybody. Hallelujah. So we clap for Jesus. We give honor to Jesus. People understand, those who are wise, this guy was, most people collapse. He didn't collapse. He rose up to the top. His story is like Joseph in the Bible. It's like Joseph. And when I came to Norway, I was in the refugee camp. They asked me, what do you want? I said, I only want a Bible. You gave me other things, but I want a Bible. They were shocked. Nobody asked them for a Bible before. I only need the word of God, I told them. My mother tore my Bible before I came here. She was a Muslim. She hated, God bless my mother, but she tore my Bible. I had no Bible. It was my most prized possession. I loved my Bible, and you took away my Bible. So I asked the Norwegian authorities, please give me only a Bible. And they didn't have a Bible. Imagine. I said, what? It's like I was troubling them. It's like I asked them for a snake or a bomb or something. So after a long time, they got me a Bible. But later I came to know they were wondering, why does this Somali need a Bible? Somalis are Muslims. Well, not this Somali. Amen. I needed the word of God. I can't sleep without reading the word of God. I'm addicted to the word of God. I feel good when I read the word of God. The day is better. Hallelujah. I sleep better. Amen. So once I got my Bible, it's like relief. Oh, I kissed my Bible. Hallelujah. Nobody will tear this Bible. Nobody's going to take this Bible. I used to hide it. So till today, I always like, you know, put my Bible on a special place. Take care of it. It's the word of God. Bless the Bible. Bless the church. And God will bless you. God will take care of you. He said it in his word. I will spare him. Say, I will spare him. As a man spares his own son. I'm telling you, God spared me. God did not allow people to destroy me. God did not allow people to do whatever they want to do with me, because he loved me and he loves you. If you serve him, he will give you special treatment. Who doesn't want special treatment from Jesus? Who? Amen. We all need VIP treatment from Jesus. Hallelujah. May Jesus give you VIP treatment. So the book of Hebrews says the day is approaching. Say, the day is approaching. So what should I do? Well, come together with the people of God. You know, the early church, it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. What should we do? We say we are apostolic. Continue in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Amen. What's the apostles' doctrine? Well, they taught us that the Apostle John said in John 14:9, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus is saying, believe Jesus is the Father. This is the apostles' doctrine. Can you say amen? What else did they teach us? They said, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What? Yes. If you're looking for God, God is dwelling in a body. But of course, he's not limited to that body only. But to meet God, You have to find that body. Which body? Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yes. His name is Jesus. He's the only God. He's the ultimate truth, ultimate reality. There is nothing outside of Jesus. All things were made by him. Without him was nothing made. You were not made by anyone or anything else. Jesus made you. And better still, the same Jesus who made you, he saved you. Hallelujah. How? With his own flesh and blood. God does not borrow from anyone else to save us. He is complete in himself. He is Alpha and Omega. He is El Shaddai. Hallelujah. He has everything to save us. His name is salvation. Yehoshua. God has become our salvation. I don't need anything else. I don't want anything else. Jesus is sufficient for me. I found him. I found him. The one who's sharing this testimony, I see some new names. I was a Muslim. I was born into a Muslim family. I was a Somali. I'm still a Somali, but I'm not a Muslim anymore. Why? Not because of anything against Islam. I asked the Muslim God to speak to me. And Jesus appeared to me in 1986. He told me that I was looking for God. It's true, for 3 months, intensely. And he told me that he is God. I met God. He said, he's crazy. Yes, I'm crazy. No problem. Believe whatever you want. But I've been crazy for 40 years. And no psychiatrist has been able to heal me. Hallelujah. I'm happy to report to you. 40 years since I saw Jesus. How did he look like? Doesn't matter. What did it feel like? Yes, it felt like God. What was your experience? I met God. When the Apostle Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he knew this is God. He asked him, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I met Jesus. I know he's God. Not only because he told me he's God, I knew when I met him, this is God. You know, when you know something and there is nothing to discuss. In fact, if Jesus would tell me he's not God, I would be in trouble. What? No, you are God. I feel it. I experienced it. So it's good he said he's God. It's just to confirm. I didn't need to hear that he's God. I knew. But it's good he confirmed it. You know why I'm saying this? Because the apostles should have known after 3 years that he's the Father. He told Philip, what? Have I been with you for so long? In other words, it's not right that Jesus should tell you he's God. You should know if you have been with him. Ah, hallelujah. Please listen to me. I know this because when I met him, I had an out-of-body experience. And I saw him. I was flattened by his love, his majesty, his divinity. All came together and I knew this is God. If he's not God, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Till today, this is what I believe. I told my mother, I met God. It doesn't matter what you say. Bring me even another God, I will not accept him. When you just met God, you know it's God. How can I convince you? I always tell people, if I could meet you after 500 years on this earth, you'll see he hasn't changed. It was so powerful, so powerful. So for me, the Bible is not just a book I happen to stumble upon. No. When I found Jesus, Jesus found me. I said, where is the book of Jesus? A Hindu guy told me it's called the Bible. I had no idea what the Bible is. So my life is a miracle. God found me because I was looking for him and I cannot find him on my own. He has to reveal himself to us. So this is the apostles' doctrine that they continued in. We don't just come together in church to talk about anything. We have to talk about what the apostles told us. Turn to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, hallelujah. The epistles, Revelation. Hold steadfastly to this. Be baptized in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Wash away your sins, hallelujah. He died for your sins on the cross. Amen. He's delivered you from the body of death that you carry, the body of Adam. So what shall we do, men and brethren? Well, you've repented. You've accepted Jesus, the one true God. Now, wash away this body of death. Go to the waters. Be baptized in Jesus' name. Remove the body of Adam, and Jesus will give you his own body. Philippians 3:21. He will change this vile body and transform it and make it conform to his glorious body. This is what baptism does. It removes the body of Adam. It gives you the body of Christ. Galatians 3:27. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Put on Christ in Jesus' name. Be the real sons and daughters of Christ by putting on his flesh and blood. His body, hallelujah. What more? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of Jesus, hallelujah. We have received the Spirit of the Son crying, Abba, Father. Galatians 4, verse 6. Which Spirit? The Spirit of Christ, of Jesus, of the Son, crying, Abba, Father. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 1 Corinthians 3:17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Which Lord? Jesus. Hallelujah. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Who? How? The Spirit of Jesus that came on the day of Pentecost is Jesus himself. Hallelujah. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, praise God. So you see, the body is saved by Jesus. The spirit is saved by the Spirit of Jesus. The mind is saved by the mind of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. That is when you become a Christian, a true son of Jesus, daughter of Jesus. Don't you want to be a daughter of Jesus, son of Jesus? Put on Christ. Repent of your sins. Repent of living a life without Jesus. How dare we live without Jesus in Jesus' name? Oh, hallelujah. How dare we? Do not dare to breathe one breath without Jesus. The Bible says in him we live and move and have our being. Do not dare to take one step without Jesus. Ah, hallelujah. The life that I now live, I live through faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. But nevertheless, he lives. How? Not through Paul, not through the old life. Everything we do in Jesus' name. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. Praise God. We need to reach the stage that when I rest, I say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for this rest. When I wake up, I say, thank you, Jesus, for good night's sleep. When I eat, I say, oh, I bless this name in Jesus, this food in Jesus' name. When I open a book, I always say, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Read with me, Jesus. I don't want the devil to read with me. There's too many books written by the devil. Praise God. When I go out, as soon as I open the door and I take in some fresh breath, I say, in Jesus' name. This is to live in Christ. I don't live now. Christ lives in me. Every step, everything is Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is a blessed life. May you live through Jesus. Ecclesiastes 9, chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. These words emphasize that life's challenges are easier to bear when we do not face them alone. In the context of Christian life, this means believers must support one another, lift up each other during struggles, temptations, and doubts. Fellowship is not just social, but essential for resilience. In unity, there is safety, there is strength. Amen. Encouragement will keep us from falling into despair, falling into sin. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 27, let me close with this. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Hallelujah. This analogy of the body vividly illustrates that each person has an essential role, and the health of the whole depends on every individual member functioning in harmony. If one part is disconnected or damaged, we know the local church cannot flourish. We need everyone to be healthy. Always pray for everyone to be healthy in Jesus. Everyone to function. Everyone to fulfill their role in Jesus' name. May the great connector, Jesus, the great unifier of the church, may he help us to be one in the church, to have one mind, to love one another, to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Paul said, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. Amen. May he help us to carry each other's burdens. All this we say in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us bow our heads and pray for all of this. Lord Jesus, we've shared your word. We realize each time we study your word that we have much to improve, Jesus, much to learn, Jesus. And that's why we do not shy away from your word, but we realize that in coming together, in not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, we provoke one another, we edify one another, we challenge one another. I thank you for this message. Grant us grace to fulfill it. Let us be the best brothers and sisters we can be to each other. Help us to forgive one another. Help us to wash one another's feet in the name of Jesus. Because this is the example that you set before us, Jesus. Lord, help us to love the church as you love the church. And help us to provoke one another to good works, to blessings, to love. Again, I bless you today for your mercy, your kindness. You're our God. We love you. We bless you. We pray you take these messages and spread them to every corner of the earth. And let people hear and be touched and be converted and give honor to you and live for you. This is our little contribution to you. Bless it as you bless the fishes and the loaves. Multiply it for your glory's sake. All of this we pray in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And the church says, amen, amen. Jesus bless you.